Cape Talk, health and wellness.
Well, somebody who spends more than 67 minutes every day helping people, patching them back together, soothing the sore muscles off the sports field. Darren Green, it's lovely to have you back again after too long. You've been traveling all over the place with the women's rugby team, haven't you?
Yes, thank you. No, very excited to be back. And part of the support we give from Mediclinic Corporate Events is to some of these big events. SARU took our ladies, our women's under 20 team, to Zimbabwe to play against Zimbabwe in two international tests. And for those that don't know that ladies rugby is very much alive and kicking in South Africa, it was an incredible experience. The girls did us very proud. They were well behaved on and off the field and really, really did an exceptional job at representing us.
That's great to hear. And they won both the tests.
Yes, 43-0 the first one and 67-10 the second one.
Not just one, they won emphatically.
But so much to contribute towards Africa. From Malawi that comes across and plays against Zimbabwe, Kenya obviously on the rise as well. There's just so much happening in terms of development of sport and giving those young girls that are watching from primary school level already something to aim towards. So I'm excited about the future.
I feel the same way as I felt watching the Women's World Cup football.
Yes.
The standard has gone up so much. It was so exciting to see. And I have to say, it was so exciting to see the absence of the diving and fainting and faking injuries. They just took it on the shoulder and carried on playing. So that's exciting to hear. Thanks. Well, welcome home. And of course,
you
Dr.
Too.
Green
Thank
is
you.
In the house to tackle your questions. Talking today about something we were actually discussing in Pepper's Planet on Friday for an entirely different reason. Darren, on Friday, we were talking mushrooms and fungi in the wild and where to pick them
shrooms,
and which ones you can eat. Today, we're talking about fungal infections, the kinds we find in the body that we don't necessarily want to be there.
Yes.
But there are actually some fungi that occur naturally in the body, aren't there?
Yes, there are. Yeah. I mean, we have fungi and bacteria in the body, mm-hmm. obviously, that are important in regulating pH, the acid levels of the gut, and also the membranes, the skin membranes and so forth. But when that balance is disturbed, in other words, when you wipe out some of your normal commensal or good bacteria with antibiotics or with something in your diet that's excessive and you're changing that environment or you have trauma, friction, whatever in different places, you can imagine that's when the environment becomes favorable for mm-hmm. overgrowth of some of the normal skin colonizing organisms when they actually start growing. And the characteristic of fungi is that they grow very slowly. Extremely slowly. So it's not like they're not there one night and boom, suddenly it's there. It's slow. It's like a yeast that we use to make bread rise, and it causes obviously the multiplication over a period of time.
So that's what we're talking about today in all its forms. And if you've got a question, be it around athlete's foot, around thrush, around jock itch, around ringworm, and many others, you can call us on 021-446-0567, tweet your question at Cape Talk, send a voice note to 072-567-1567 or an SMS to 31567. They grow slowly, but what are the symptoms that they are growing beyond the norm? What should we be looking out for?
Itchy. I think when it comes to skin manifestations, the itch is something that drives people insane. And depending on where the infection is, obviously it loves warm, dark, moist and airless places. So places where there aren't, where there isn't a rich supply rather of oxygen are places where they tend to really, really be abundant. So you'll find them under the armpits, under the breasts, especially if you're well endowed in that area and, mm-hmm. and you've got clammy areas under the breasts, your groin, as you mentioned, and between the toes, obviously. So that's what, you know, where they then colonize and can start manifesting. And something as simple as not drying in between your toes properly. It's not that you're not hygienic. It's not that you aren't washing between your toes or anywhere else in all those crevices. It's definitely not related to not being hygienic. Sometimes from over scrubbing, from over cleaning, from being in the bath and douching and using obviously scented creams, perfume creams, irritating substances that aren't meant for those areas. That can even initiate the problem by killing your good bacteria that protect you against fungal infections. And that's what a lot of people, they're always looking at treating the fungus. Mm-hmm. But the actual trigger is, in fact, destroying the good bacteria that protect you against
place.
It. Yeah. So I think that's a good point to
Important because if you don't identify what that initial cause was, you run the risk of just having a repeat infection.
That's it. And the association, of course, in diabetics, very important to know that diabetics have a higher propensity for developing candida, for one, and other fungal infections, and a lot of skin manifestations with that as well. And then people that are on chemotherapy and long standing treatment with steroids. So when the immunity is compromised, the immune system can't then regulate or respond to a simple infection quickly. So it takes too long to actually counter the early infection, and then it multiplies and gets out of control.
Okay, really important to mention. Right, the first two WhatsApps are both asking about the same thing, so let's go there. Anita, thank you, and to Anonymous asking, please discuss toenail fungus and any remedies.
Yeah, so the nails are actually toenails, in terms of the toes, obviously, are more common than the fingernails. And the reason for that is we wear closed shoes, we wear socks. So where there be moisture, there be fungus, as I mentioned earlier on. So, you know, one of the ways that we actually cure fungus is drying the areas out, not wearing closed shoes and socks all the time, or changing them more frequently and drying them out. When you shower, for example, using a hairdryer to dry between your toes. It can make a massive difference when you're treating the infection. But certainly the nails themselves are very difficult because it actually grows in the nail itself. And you'll see that it becomes white in color, often in older females are more prone. You'll also notice then the flaking and then eventually even a dent in the nail. And the issue there is no topical cream is going to take that away. You'll find sometimes they get so deformed, the nails, that they actually end up hurting you when you're wearing shoes or falling off themselves. Mm-hmm. So what you need to understand with that is that you need systemic treatment for that fungal infection, looking at 6 weeks to 2 months of oral medication that's indicated for that specific fungal infection in the nail bed.
And is that something you'd need to get on prescription after having consulted a GP?
Yeah, that's it. And the reason why it needs to be on prescription is you need to counsel people on the side effects of all these drugs. Whether you're giving an antifungal agent or an antibiotic, it needs to come with, what are the side effects? What do I look out for? What are the drug interactions with other medications I might be on? And what do I need to look out for in terms of combining it with, even your diet and your food stuff? So quite important.
Okay. We're talking fungal infections with Dr. Darren Green. You're very welcome to send a question as Anonymous has done on the WhatsApp line to 0725671567. I'm not entirely sure if this is fungal related, but the question is that after getting my fourth tattoo, I have a very itchy, dry rash, really itchy on the tattooed area. Could this be some kind of infection, or could it be stress or anxiety related?
Yeah, it could be one of many things. One would actually have to look at the skin, examine the skin, look, is it forming, for example, a specific kind of rash in that area when it is itchy? Is it due to obviously a lack of moisture in the skin itself, or is it an infection, as you rightfully put it? And sometimes they can even look at the scales. They do a bit of a test or a swab, and they look at it under a microscope, and it can tell you whether they're fungal spores or not. And then you know you're using the right treatment. Otherwise, everyone goes to the pharmacist and asks for something that covers everything, and they buy different topicals first and try, and they simple, cheap antifungal agent. And they don't, if they're not successful in the first while, then obviously then they'll move on to consult someone.
Okay, now let's talk a little bit about how serious it can get if it's not treated. You did mention that they're slow growing, and hopefully that itch and the other symptoms make you realize something is wrong and needs help. But what if you don't, or you're one of those people who puts your head in the sand and pretends it's not there?
Yes.
If you leave it untreated, what could happen?
Yeah, the skin is the largest organ in the human body. It's a barrier, and it's part of your immune system. But when that barrier is compromised, and you'll hear the people that give you facials say the barrier has been destroyed, the natural insulation from the outside, then it opens up your immune system and exposes you to deep-rooted drying cracks in the surface or the epidermis, which allow then the skin bacteria to move into those cracks. They can then colonize, grow, and cause secondary bacterial infections that can become wet, weeping infections and really bad in terms of bacterial infections. But the other thing that people don't know is fungus is not only limited to the skin. The other systemic manifestations that you might find in different different systems of the human body with fungus involve the brain. Mm-hmm. You can get fungus that attacks, for example, the central nervous system in the form of meningitis. Cryptococcus meningitis in HIV is very common, where the pressure is really raised in the brain as well. That's demonstrated on the lumbar puncture. And the lungs is another big source of fungal infections in the immunocompromised. Aspergillosis is one of those. And then a lot of people don't know about. You actually can get a fungus ball that grows like a big mushroom in the lung, causing damage to the tissue. And you see it on the x-ray, and it's quite dramatic. And then you could get fungal infections in the gut as well, as I've mentioned as well. And another big one with reflux disease is esophageal candida. In other words, from the mouth, where you have a white powdery discharge in the mouth, that candida can move all the way down the back of the throat into the esophagus, and you would suffer then from severe heartburn. And then simply taking an antifungal lozenge is not going to take that away. Mm. You need to obviously work on systemically getting rid of that fungus once the cultures are done as well.
I'm going to add to that, it's something to be aware of if you are on regular asthma sprays, to rinse your throat out afterwards.
Great one. The steroid sprays, yes. Because they change the membrane,
and,
100%.
As somebody who's been through that in childhood, yeah. I very well clearly remember the sorest throat I ever had in my life was as a result of a fungal infection due to not rinsing properly.
It's so sore. Really is painful.
Spray. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So thanks for tipping my memory there. Right, let's go to Ian, who's on the line from Bloberg with a question or a comment. Ian, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. I just want to go back to that toe fungus.
Yes.
The doctor mentioned that you must take something orally.
That's right.
How would that affect the other good fungi and bacteria and so on, other microorganisms that live in the body?
Right, great question. So you have different, what they call commensal organisms, which are your natural good bacteria as such, that line the membranes of the mouth, the throat, the gut, and in your intestines as well. And though that balance, obviously, there are hundreds of different bacterial species in that way. So when you take an antifungal agent, it's often useful if you've struggled with something like the toes or feet, for example, for a long period of time, for them to actually culture it and actually stain it and look at it under a microscope, because then they can give you a specific antifungal agent that works for that specific fungus, and not necessarily like we do with all bacteria, just a broad spectrum antibiotic for bacteria as such. So that's quite important, you know. And one of the big things that you'll know is that good doctors will always ask about your probiotic intake in terms of when you do get put on any form of antibiotics as well. Are you taking a probiotic? Are you eating enough yogurt with live cultures, etc.? And there's variable evidence. Some of it you would really disturb people to see that only research is done on certain probiotic strains, for example, that are useful.
Okay.
The rest, obviously, is just by association. People think any probiotic's going to work after I've had antibiotics. So, yeah, those are, I think, important things to note there.
Yeah. Just a follow-up question is that you mentioned that it grows in the nail itself.
Yes, and on the surface of the nail and in the microarchitecture of the nail, affecting the integrity of the membrane. So you often have those concave spoon-like dips in the nail where it becomes deformed, you know, because of the microarchitecture.
I've just got the whitening that occurs. It looks like predominantly under the nail.
Yes.
But so the question is really, it's just, is there no real topical treatment that will solve this?
Now you can use topical, but the penetration of the topical on those is really not good enough, and the time span that you have to actually heal this thing takes a lot. It takes, even on oral medication, I think I mentioned things like Griseofulvin, for example, 6 to 8 weeks, and you've got to first make sure before putting people on medication like that their liver functions are okay, because the metabolism and how the tablet is absorbed and broken down depends on those systems being in place.
Okay, Ian, good luck to you. Maybe you want to just take a leaf from Stephanie, Steph, who sent us a WhatsApp with a home remedy that helped her, for what it's worth. As Steph said, my GP and I held back on oral meds for toenail fungus due to other conditions. Absolutely fair
good
enough.
Point.
She says, they're also worth noting that many others like me might be mistaking it for a bruise, because in my case, it was blue, green and hardened and looked like a bruise.
Yeah.
What did help Steph was daily tea tree oil, she says, which until it eventually grew out. I had had it for many years unknowingly. So, Steph, lots of important stuff in there, including what to look out for and how, what it might be mistaken for. And, yeah, and I don't know if you want to try the tea tree oil, as Steph said, helped her. But I take your point that if it is really set in underneath and within the nail itself, it's going to take more than that. Yeah. Okay. Such an important question here. When we say ringworm, I think a lot of people assume that it's a worm, but it's not. It's actually a fungus. And
indeed.
Here's a great comment or question. I'm a teacher, says somebody on the WhatsApp. I often get ringworm from the kids that I teach. Is there a good preventative measure I can take? And what is the best treatment?
Yeah, so the thing with ringworm, obviously, it's got nothing to do with worms. It's got to do, obviously, with the fungal infection, once again. And sometimes, if it's a mild case, a topical, what we call topical ketoconazole or topical fluconazole, or itraconazole can work. Other times, obviously, if it's systemic and starts popping up all over the body, you might need to take oral medication. Preventatively, you should take, obviously precautions when you are playing in sand as well. If you think about children,
the
they love
pits,
the sand pits, don't they? And that's where you'd look at it specifically. And if you identify it as a possible infection, try and treat it early so that we don't have to deal, obviously, with an outbreak amongst the group of children that, you know, in confined spaces, especially in the winter months.
Okay. In terms of sort of building yourself up to prevent getting it, is there anything you can do? No,
not much. I'd say the preventative measures would be obviously looking at how it spread, where you contract it, and taking it from there.
Okay. Thank you very much. Interesting question here from somebody asking whether nappy rash is a fungal infection ever.
Yeah, so the skin in the groin, so you have from a groin itch, nappy itch often. So you'll find all these wonder cures that the moms are begging and the dads are begging for to help their kids' nappy rash are in moist areas that become chafed from the nappy actually causing friction, breaking the membrane of the skin, and then fungus growing in the very, very moist, damaged areas.
Yep.
So the treatments often involve things like bum creams, and everyone knows the bum creams and the bepanthens and the Bennett's, all of those. But with antifungal agents as well, and then obviously drying the area. For moms that have tried everything and suffer, they often say rooibos tea bags often work quite well. Mm. I've had some patients that say that they've used that just as a soothing mechanism in our own very homegrown rooibos before obviously drying it off and applying all the medication. So tea bags, can you believe it?
They work
useful,
for all kinds
useful
of things,
for,
I think.
Quite a few, but the principles would be reinstating the skin membrane so that cracked, damaged, dried, flaky skin can recover, keeping the area dry and giving enough time to air the groin, and then obviously treating appropriately for the right type of fungus.
And some bare bottom time if you can manage. Absolutely.
There you go.
Okay. We've got a voice note, I think, on the tea tree cure. Let's just take a listen to that, or treatment.
Hi, Pippa. My name is Theo from Worcester. My wife had the same problem with the toenails, fungal infection under toenail, and we used tea tree oil, and it took about 6 weeks, and beautiful after 6 weeks. Thanks. Have a nice day. Cheers. Bye.
Thanks, Theo. There's the second person recommending tea tree oil.
Absolutely. Just when you do use tea tree oil, please remember, and for those that love Googling as well, remember that all tea tree is not for ingestion. In other words, orally to drink tea tree preparations. Be very aware of that. Please note, obviously, we're speaking here about topical preparations.
Absolutely. I mean, the smell alone should tell you that should not be going into your body. Darren, okay. On that important reminder, let's leave the last word to Diana on the WhatsApp with a tip saying, I have found that wearing socks made with bamboo or mohair has helped with fungal infections on the feet. They are expensive, but worth it. They seem to absorb and deal with sweat on the feet much more.
Absolutely. So you must remember also the skin recycles or gets rid of its dead skin. The underneath of your foot, the heel area specifically, acts as a sponge which holds onto the moisture. Mm-hmm. So if you aren't doing a bit of a pumice stone scrub. You're not getting rid of some of those dead cells, and they actually can then absorb the sweat from your footwear the whole day, and you really struggle to get it completely dry. So remember that, you know, obviously an occasional scrub and getting rid of those dead skin cells could also help in terms of preventing the fungus growing in a favorable environment. And she mentions obviously all these wonderful breathing natural fibers, which are incredible.
On that note, thanks, Diana, for the tip. And Darren, great to have you with us again.
Thank you.
Welcome back, and we'll chat again soon.
Thank you.